I call the May 9th, 2024 meeting of Law, Rules, and Government Services to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Chair Kovacs.
Present.
Deputy Chair Levine.
Here.
Legislator Gavaris. Legislator Hansett. Legislator Harmon.
Present.
Legislator Kitchen. Legislator Uchitel. And Legislative Chair Criswell.
Here.
You have 4 members present and 5 members present, 3 absent.
Thank you. We're going to take one resolution. I'm sorry. Minutes of the April 11th meeting. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
There is a motion. I'll make that motion to approve the minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, minutes approved. You're going to take one resolution out of order. We're going to take the very last resolution, which is late resolution number 261, approving the execution of a contract for $4.23 million entered into by the county with Prime Care Medical of New York, Professional Care Medical Practice, PC, with the Ulster County Sheriff's Office. And motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
We have representatives from the Sheriff's Office here. Do one or both of you would like to speak?
I would like to say, first of all, thank you. This is a new contract year for Prime Care Medical. We decided to recontract with Prime Care Medical. This contract is inclusive of our MAP program. Our original contract wasn't, so we write staff, our medical provider, with this new contract. We also built in some additional language for collaboration around discharge planning, reentry, and things that were very important to the community. We also are going to have to, as a result of including so medication for opioid use was in 2022, we received a mandate from the state that we must, we must offer this program in our jail. And so with that mandate came really a large demand on our medical providers. They have to provide within a certain period of time when an individual comes into the jail, and they also have to have pharmacy availability. So that was another thing we've increased with this contract. But we're very satisfied with the provider, and we're really excited to move forward with them being right staff the way they need to be.
Thank you. Can you just identify yourself and your position for everyone?
Sure. I'm sorry. My name is Juanita Hatchkiss, and I am the Director of Community Incarcerated Services. And so essentially, I am, hand in hand with the Superintendent of Jails. We oversee the MAP program, the medical program, and specifically, in my case, it's the mental health programming and substance use programming. And on the other side of things, I oversee all of the CIT teams, so the crisis intervention team that the sheriff has, so Oracle, Avert, SAFE, and anything else we add. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you. For the legislators who came late, we moved to number 261, the very last resolution on the agenda, just so the sheriff's office can be excused. Are there any questions or any comments?
The changes to this, to the contract, I remember when this went through law enforcement the first time a couple years ago, were there any, I know I emailed you about this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I haven't really got a chance to review what you sent this afternoon. What were the major changes compared to the prior contract?
We included medication for opioid use disorder. So we included, that was not included in the first contract at all. For example, we served 396 people last year on medication for opioid use disorder. So that means whether it's continuation of medication or induction, this legislation was passed down, I think, on 2022, all jails in New York State are mandated to provide this medical service. We didn't amend or change our staffing pattern at the time. We realized and learned over the course of the last year or so what the needs were, and so we rectified that with this new contract. But that was that's a big part of it. That's the bulk of the change. Thank you.
So this is coming through as a late resolution. That's why it's here. It was discovered that this contract was re-RFP'd, as we had discussed, and this was the new vendor that was selected. In order to get this up and running, the current provider is still operating, but we wanted to not have any gap in service delivery within the jail. Obviously, very sensitive contract, so that's why it's coming through as a late resolution.
Mr. Collins.
What's the medication, what type of medication do you have for your disorder?
The new legislation requires all, so every type of medication, which is, again, so the other expansion was with our pharmacy hours and the medications in which are carried, so making sure that the medications that are required to be offered are stocked and secured and available. So all medications, so
methadone,
we still use our OTPs in the community for methadone. The provider is not it's not licensed methadone facility, but buprenorphine, Sublocade. I mean, there's the Vivitrol. We offer all of them. We have to.
Okay. And, thank you.
Yeah, it's quite effective.
Yeah, I would just add that we were moving towards offering medication-assisted therapy in the jail before the New York law came through.
Yeah.
There have been very important programs in Albany that were starting this. But prior to that time, people would be on medication that is itself will cause some distress if you don't have it, and would be jailed and would not have access. And so it was bordering on cruel and unusual punishment to have people not be able to have access, in addition to the fact that medication-assisted therapy is one of the best ways to improve your outcomes. And so the degree of return to incarceration is much, much lower on people who have had access to this. So it's a little off the topic of the resolution, but because it came up, it's just really important that we have this and have a provider that really understands how to make it available and use it for incarcerated populations.
Thank you so much.
Anyone else? I'm going to call the question. Can we do a long roll?
Legislator Levine?
Aye.
Legislator Gavaris?
Aye.
Legislator Hansett?
Yes.
Legislator Harmon?
Yes.
Legislator Uchitel?
Yes.
Chair Criswell?
Yes.
Committee Chair Kovac?
Yes.
7-0.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We're going to go to the top of the agenda. This is resolution number 155, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 2, a local law amending Article 30, Commission of Human Rights of the Ulster County Charter and the Ulster County Administrative Code, and Chapter 216 of the Human Rights of the Code of the County of Ulster, in relation to the number of members and appointment structure of the Commission of Human Rights, to be held June 18th, 2024 at 7 p.m.
Can I speak to it?
Please.
Thank you. In reviewing this carefully and then looking at the charter revisions that were recommended, this is in opposition to those charter revision recommendations. And so it seems to me that we should go back, institute those, and move from there rather than throwing out the hard work that was done.
This was brought up in the last meeting, and the sponsor of the legislation said that he was working on that. Do we know if that happened? So this is the same format that it was?
To my knowledge, this is the same format.
Well, I would suggest we do the same thing as the last one, which is wait for the sponsor to look at it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, seeing none. Motion passes. Okay, resolution number 217, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 5 in 2024, a local law amending section 827-2B of the Administrative Code of the County of Ulster, local law 10-2008, to ensure proper staffing levels at the Ulster County Board of Elections, to be held on Tuesday, June 18, 2024, 7:25 p.m. This is a local law that I have worked on with the commissioners of the Board of Elections. It's in relation to mandated staffing, which is attempted to be done at the state level. What this local law would basically do is, at the county level, simply require that the Board of Elections, so the commissioners, file a report to the legislature and the executive by September 1st of every year, indicating their anticipated required staffing for the following year. Either commissioner, both commissioners are here. Either of you have any comments?
I thank you guys for working with us on this. We're just simply looking to sort of model this after something that's been trying to be accomplished at the state but hasn't been. From my perspective, I think this does a good job of removing the politics from the elections office itself. Just like a short scenario, which Ashley might even be able to give better context to, but prior to me even being in the Board of Elections, there were some years in which our office and its staffing levels were called into question, and in which case certain positions were eliminated by the then county executive, leaving in limbo that employee's status as to how they were going to be continuing in their role to work within our office. And I think supplying a resolution like this and passing a law like this prevents any one elected official or individual from sort of playing politics with the Board of Elections office. And it also, in the long term, should the state sort of pass a formula that would sort of tie how our office is staffed. The goal is that it's about a 6-person minimum, and then any 20,000 voters or more over 40,000, you'd have two additional employees. We are right on par with where we're supposed to be. This would not increase our current staffing requirements. We currently have 128,000 active registered voters, and the only time that we would be required to go and increase to two more is if we ever, in the near future, achieve over 140,000 active registered voters. But we are well staffed, thank you very much, and this would sort of just remove a lot of the politics from the questioning on how our office is staffed.
I would just add that this is rooted in our bipartisan agenda as an Election Commissioners Association. This has been on that legislative agenda in a bipartisan way for at least 4 years. It also has passed the state Senate consistently every 4 years, but it has not been passed by the Assembly. And just the background on that is that the chair of the Assembly Election Law Committee has not picked it up. There's some issues that she has with the New York City Board of Elections. New York City is exempt from the new change that we will be undergoing, very much discussed by this body and others about the changes from most of our elections being odd and even. Most of them will be moved to even years. There is concern that with that change to upstate election boards that we'll be asked to go and use part-time staff, and that is not a realistic solution for us. The metric is based off of statewide how many people register annually, how many changes to the voter roll are made, and how many people does that take to maintain in order for us to supply poll books and accurate records in time for our election events. So it is coming from a bipartisan place. We think that it is a good thing to staff our board in an abstract manner as opposed to, like John said, a politically motivated mechanism. So we're very much for this.
Any questions or comments?
Just say I'm going to be opposed to this. I think that this takes away from requiring you to come to us to get additional staffing and then be able to ask the questions and have you justify. I think the benefit that we've seen over the years is during budget time, you have to come to us and justify why you need what you need and how many people, and there's always a back and forth on it. And I personally like that. I like that ability to have it sort of thrown in front of me as to why you need that staffing level, to give you a formula. There's a lot of variables in there. People are really voting more than they ever have before, and I think things are going to get, as it becomes more normalized, that's going to happen more and more. I just like the idea of coming back. And I mean, and this is more of a ways and means side, but just, you know, the cost is listed at, I think, $300 or whatever, but the actual cost is about $183,000 annually per new per pair of employees. So really, to say that there's no cost, and just sort of bring that as a general statement, there is a cost associated with this. And I just prefer to have that option of it being explained at budget time, what we need for the next year, rather than relying on a formula and us forgetting about it, and it just gets hidden in this larger number every year.
Anyone else? I would remind you, this is simply to set a public hearing for this law.
I don't have a motion yet.
Is there a motion?
I'll move to approve.
Mr. Longwell.
Hmm?
Oh, let's do that. Is the time correct for when the thing should be? Because that's late. Let's do it at 7:05 or something.
7:05 is taken.
Let's do 7:06.
You can do it at 7 because you postponed 1:55.
Let's do it at 7. Thank you.
I did check the.
There are 7:15.
There's a lot of public hearings in June, including some that don't come to this committee. There were two that Economic Development did for CDBG funding and Ag District inclusion. So I did check it, but because you postponed 1:55, you may have that time slot.
7:00.
Good catch.
So, do we want to withdraw the motions, make an amendment, and then motion?
Yeah, I think that's
right. So, are you comfortable with that?
I am perfectly comfortable.
Okay, great. So, I move to update the start time of public hearings to be 7:00 on the same date.
For a second.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Seeing none.
I move to adopt as amended.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Longwell, please.
To adopt the resolution as amended.
Correct.
Levine.
Yes.
Guevaras.
At the public hearing, yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Kitchen. Sorry, you should tell.
Yes.
Truswell.
Yes.
And Kovacs.
Yes.
Adopted as amended, 7-0.
Okay. Number three, resolution number 237, adopting proposed local law number 3 of 2024, a local law amending Article 5 of the Ulster County Charter, local law number 2 of 2006, and amending Article 5 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster, local law number 10 of 2008, to modify various provisions in relation to the Commissioner of Health or Public Health Director and Medical Examiner. Motion to adopt. Is there a second? Anything you'd like to add, Deputy County Executive? Oh, I'm sorry. Anything you'd like to add?
Sorry?
Anything you'd like to add to this?
No. I mean, I guess I can just overall say what I've talked to a few of you all about this, but our goal with this resolution is just to give us the most amount of choice as we try to recruit for a candidate. We've had the position open for about a month now, and have gotten one application from a medical doctor and one phone call who returned their call. So most of the people who are applying at this point have public health degrees, but not MDs. And we had started to interview some of the people just to see, to vet their qualifications. And a few of them have had actual experience as directors of public health for other counties. In the country, and they have a lot of expertise on public health that would be beneficial to our county. So we really hope that you all support it.
A few questions for you. Can you tell us about the efforts your office has made to identify prospective candidates who are licensed physicians?
Sure. Yeah. So firstly, we have been researching through our personnel office contract with a recruiter. Mm-hmm. The quotes that we've gotten so far have been pretty cost prohibitive, so we didn't end up pursuing, we haven't ended up pursuing that yet. We've put out the quotes, we promoted the job posting on publichealthjobs.gov, mm-hmm. We have it on Indeed, we have it on our website, we have it on our employee portal. I've been passing the word along. I've yesterday I spoke to somebody who reached out to me about the part-time medical consultant position, which has since been filled, but I asked them to please consider the full-time commissioner position. I've sent the posting to the members of our Board of Health and asked them to please share it with their contacts, and have just asked folks to spread the word in general.
Have you reached out to the Ulster County Medical Society?
The Ulster County Medical Society, no, we have not, but I would be happy to.
That's sort of the trade organization for physicians in this area.
Okay, yes.
I would suggest reaching out to Dutchess County and Orange County as well.
Mm-hmm.
Have you talked to the New York State Association of County Health Officials?
I have, yes. Well, we have. We told them that we were recruiting for both an interim medical consultant and a permanent commissioner.
Are they assisting you with finding an applicant, finding a candidate?
They said that they would, but we haven't gotten anybody from them so far.
Who have you spoken to there?
I don't know their name.
Any other questions or comments?
I don't know.
Yes.
So, it occurred to me as we were kind of hearing this conversation for a long time, can someone give me an example of why a doctor would be more qualified? What is an example of something they would do that a public health administrator wouldn't know how to do?
Who's that question?
It might be you. I'm not sure who would answer it. Can anyone here answer that?
I will answer that question because I know what people say. I don't agree with the opinion completely, but it is sometimes said that when there is a public health announcement, and especially a crisis, that the authority of a physician carries more weight when the public health commissioner attends to a problem and makes proclamations. And there may be some truth to that. It, in my view, is not enough of a benefit that in itself it would overweigh the option of having somebody who is a better manager, who actually might have more knowledge about vaccination or epidemic disease control. So there are a number of factors that go into making a person that makes this office work well 365 days out of the year. The only piece of that I think carries, has maybe something behind it to at least mention it here, is this notion that when a physician speaks about an issue, that it carries the weight of all that training.
So it's a, if I may, it's a, much like this conversation, it's a perceived benefit.
Correct. And I would say there's a big mixture of qualifications that go into this. However, part of my reason for not speaking up on this previously is that somebody might take my position as a physician to have more weight simply because I'm a physician. So, just saying.
Any other comments?
Just a question to the thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question to the Deputy County Executive in regards to following up on the Chair's question regarding if we've reached out to anybody with any of the hospital administrations in the county or the New York State Department of Health to be advertising this position and to see if they have any way of disseminating it further.
Yes.
In Albany.
Yes. So I just thought of two more. I did speak with the former chair of our Board of Health, who is a medical director at a few different institutions here in the county. I think he's a medical director for the school district, and he has a very wide network of physicians. I asked him to please spread the word, and then I reached out to Health Alliance, and I asked them to please spread the word and let me know if they know anybody who would be interested.
And in regards to the state health department?
The state health department is aware that we are looking because they had to vet the medical consultant, and they also, we had to give them the information of the acting public health director. I don't know that they advertise, but I can certainly ask them. But they're very much aware and they know that we're
okay. Thank you. Let's hear Hanson.
Can you just repeat at the beginning you said who applied or how many people applied so far to date?
I don't have the exact number on me, but oh, actually I can look real quick. About 20 have applied, but that's been a large mix. Like some people who apply are just, you know, they're not necessarily, they don't have health experience. There's a mixed bag of people who apply. I'll just say that.
They didn't all pass screening.
Right.
Can I ask a question? Chairman?
Yes, please.
I'm sure when you put this out there to receive applications, wouldn't you put down the requirements and the background needed for the position?
Yes.
Medical field or medical administration?
We do, yes. Absolutely.
And they still apply?
Thousands of some people.
Can you tell me how many doctors have applied or physicians have applied?
Actually two, but one of them is specific to mental health. So it's different specialty.
Any other comments? Call the question. Roll call. One more.
Levine.
Yes.
Tavares.
Yes.
Hanson.
No.
Harmon.
Yes.
Kitchen.
No.
Buchetel.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Kovacs.
No.
Adopted 5-3.
Thank you. Number 40. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Resolution 240, confirming appointment of member to the Ulster County Board of Ethics.
Motion to adopt, Mr. Chairman.
Your second? Second. Any comments? Call the question. Follow up, please.
Levine.
Yes.
Tavares.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Buchetel.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
8-0.
Okay. Number 5, late resolution number 260, supporting the application by the Markville Telephone Company to the New York State Connect All Municipal Infrastructure Program to provide service to unserved areas in the town of Denning and authorizing the submittal of any necessary authorizations and certifications by the chair of the legislature as required by the program, Department of Planning. There a second?
Okay.
Any comments? I know that Mr. Doyle is here. Do you want to explain anything?
It's just a, you know what, let me defer to the controller who's been involved in this with the digital commission and some support. So
very good.
Thank you. So the Citizen Commission for Digital Inclusion has been working with Margaretville Telephone, and Margaretville Telephone identified that there is municipal infrastructure program funding, which is the first part of the broadband funding moving out in New York. So I just want you to know this is not that they go to New York. And they have a small project that would serve 114 homes in the town of Denning. There is a gap in funding of about $900,000. They would seek to apply under this phase three program to Connect All. They are still in the process of making a business decision on whether or not it is effective to apply. So I want to be clear, we are literally begging them to apply, and this is a part of that ask. And so we're coming to you now with this. This is, it's late because we weren't aware that they were interested at all in this phase three funding. Mm-hmm. We probably will be back to you with other broadband items in the future, and we appreciate your support on this.
Well, broadband is increasingly a matter of civil rights, so I think it's a very good idea. Any further comments? Mr. Nolan.
Could I just say I really appreciate the work that the Comptroller's Office and the Commission has done on this, and also planning for stepping up. What I think is going to have to happen on this is that somebody from the county, maybe the comptroller's office, and I would offer to help, mm-hmm. is going to need to write this because the telephone company is at capacity, I think, in terms of those administrative parts. If we can work with them to get it written, I think they do have the capacity to do the project and get the funding and do the project. So this all is part of like a scramble to bring in $900,000 that could make this project happen.
Certainly.
I would just add to that, the commission chair, Jenny Lee, who's actually a resident of Denning, has offered to spend time working on the application, and I know would be happy to work, you know, to relieve county staff. It really would be done by commission members in consultation with legislative law.
Thank you. Any further comments? Call the question.
Levine.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Hanson.
Yes.
Armin.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Kovac.
Yes.
8-0.
Okay. On the last page of the agenda, we have a couple resolutions which will be on the May 14th session agenda. Occupancy tax, policy to maximize and prioritize the procurement of safe, effective, and comprehensive stabilization services, as well as a resolution 188, adopting a policy that a licensed physician with experience in public health shall be preferred criteria. With that, any other items? Any motions? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.